Today, was Mad Max a documentary? Or should we just be scared? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, notice posts covering finance and property news. Well, for the second Sunday in a row, Joe Wilkes is back. Joe, nice to see you again. How are you going?
Very well, Martin. Very well. Good to see you again. Thanks for letting me come up and have a little chat last week. I quite enjoyed that. I'm going to see if we go a bit further this week and just uncover a little bit of what's happening.
Well, it is interesting, and there was a huge positive reaction to your reappearance. So they really welcomed the fact that it was you coming back, but also that you opened a bit of a can of worms in terms of asking some of the deeper questions. Now, on this channel, you know, we don't shy away from asking some of these deeper questions of who's in control and what is the agenda and all those sorts of things. But I felt that there was a whole bunch of things that we could probably usefully sort of develop maybe over a series of conversations, because I think a lot of people, as I said in the previous show, feel quite uncomfortable about the way things are going in Australia and other countries. And, you know, they're asking questions like, well, who's calling the shots? And, you know, why do I feel so uncomfortable about what's going on at the moment? And almost wherever you look, you can pretty much, put a few thoughts together to say, well, hang on a moment. What we're being told is not necessarily the full story. So what is the story? And what does it tell us about those who are telling us the story in the first place?
Yeah. Where do you start? Yeah. So I think the last few years have been a massive eye opener for everybody. The 2020 vision we talked about in the last one, that was really the trigger. And everything that's happened over the last few years with the COVID policy, the COVID measures seems to have been orchestrated. And then the massive spending plans that happen everywhere. I mean, I remember in New Zealand at the time, their measures to control the economy during the lockdowns was for the RBNZ to go and print pretty much 30% of GDP and throw it at the economy. It's not real reactions to anything. And you look at what's happened in most of the Western countries, and you know, we now have a massive distrust of government because what we're voting for is not what's happening. And across the globe, there's a huge amount of pushback. Some people are pushing back against individual agendas, and then there's a bigger picture, which is the overall agenda, which is, I suppose, that dystopian 1984 that George Orwell wrote about, nearly 100 years ago, which seems to be what the controllers want for the rest of the population. And the suppose the predictive programming that's gone into our movies and into the things that we've looked at all the way through our lifetimes, Martin, they seem to be unfolding. And, you know, I'm kind of hoping that Australia won't turn into Mad Max, the 1979 film with Mel Gibson, because that's pretty dystopian. But at the same point, if you've got the complete breakdown of trust in governments, trust in the judiciary, trust in the police forces, and I think through that, the corruption levels that some of them have sort of been highlighted and then swept away. It leads to this distrust of, okay, who are these politicians? What is it that is driving their motivations? Why are they doing what they're doing when clearly the populace don't want? I mean, Australia's classic. The populace and even the immigrants that have arrived, they don't want more people, but that's not what the men in power are doing. And I want to sort of, I suppose, delve a little bit deeper on that today, because in lots of industries and in lots of businesses and I think definitely in politics, in judiciary and also the police, there are elements of corruption that appear to be driving things. And those people and individuals who've been corrupted, there have been reports done in Australia. There's the Mulligan report, which highlights some fairly serious allegations of child pedophilia within South Australia, and which involved the police and high-ranking members of society, which has been brushed under the carpet. But you've got to ask yourself, if you're living in South Australia and this has happened, there's been an investigation and then it's been buried, Who are the people? Who are they? Who are they? Are they individuals? Are they groups of people? Are they collectives? Are they? People say that are they the Masons? And I'm going to say that yeah, there is big question marks over some of these societies. And what levels of power and influence do they then exert? Which I think was massively shown up in the COVID era, in that all of a sudden there were these hierarchical structures were dictating things to everybody. And there were almost foot soldiers in every walk of life, the police, the judiciary, even in education and business, who were actually determining how everybody should act. Right, you need to wear a face mask, or we're going to put these screens up here. And everything was rolled out so quickly. I mean, I couldn't believe at the time how quickly supermarkets had these screens up, because those screens, one, we were all locked down, difficult to import them from China, which was largely making them, because we don't make anything in England, Australia, or New Zealand anymore. But how did they arrive so quickly for us to have these screens in supermarkets, unless it was pre-planned and orchestrated? How did we have the tills in supermarkets turned from human manned tills to machines between the lockdowns, pretty much? And what I think that we've really got to look at is, okay, so what is controlling this? And are the people that are writing the script, or playing out the script that's given to them, are they doing it because they've been compromised? The Heffernan report was another one, beyond the Mulligan report on South Australian police. And that does mention 28 names. The report came out in 2015. I saw it actually at the time, in a New Zealand newspaper article, so it made it over there. But then nothing, and it's been buried. And we need to know, as people, if the people who are leading our media, if the people who are leading our governments, or if the people who are leading our police forces are compromised. And I think that that is some of the things that has created the dramatic and violent reactions that some members of the police had. To example, the protesters at Wellington, who sat on the Parliament lawns in early 2022, and then were forced off the grounds one afternoon with pepper spray and batons. I think that that is exactly the same compromised police force that shot people with rubber bullets in Melbourne back in the lockdowns. So these things, they're coming up a little bit. And recently Australia's had a news story about a child abuser in Australia, who's apparently fiddled with hundreds of children. This guy should be strung up by the neck and well, castrated first, and then strung up by the neck. Because you do one thing and then the other, but you make sure the job gets done, so he's not doing it ever again. These things need to be made public, so that we can actually see the type of assholes that are running the show, and who we're all voting in and listening to. Now, I'm not going to put any names on current politicians, but a lot of people would question, if you're a New Zealander, you would question why, after the second lockdown in New Zealand back in 2020, and when the jab rollout hadn't been as successful as they wanted it to be, because New Zealand had been locked down and nobody was ill. New Zealand then went into a lockdown because a 90-year-old lady got a cold in Auckland. But it subsequently happened because the leader of the country, Jacinda Ardern, at the time, had made a visit to BlackRock headquarters in New York, I believe, to take her orders. And then on that return in August, or late August 2021, New Zealand went into a lockdown where people weren't let out again until the percentage of the population was high enough for them to consider releasing them. Now, is Jacinda Ardern compromised? Yeah, I would say so. I think that there would be some dirt on these people that forces their behaviour. They get to rise the echelons of their career and their social standing, but at the same point, they're probably something that's quite murky that's held over them, to get them to enact what are, in many instances, inhuman and inhumane policies.
Yeah, and it isn't
a bit
very
darker.
interesting. Very interesting when you actually stop and think about it, because politicians sort of get elected and okay, Albo got back in, massive majority of the one third of the votes, but some of the stuff that he's now sort of pushing, you sort of scratch your head and think, well, hang on a minute, whose interests is it actually relating to? Because it doesn't seem to me to be in the interests of ordinary people. And you know, when you ask questions, well, why is that? Then you've got to say, well, either there's a cock-up theory of history, which basically says that because of the influence of large corporates and because of the fact that those people can actually, you know, push really hard, politicians bend in their direction, which is what I think one argument. Or is there something else? And as you say, is it that actually there are other levers that we don't know about? And a little microcosm is this whole digital ID issue, which of course is bubbling away in Australia. And I've been worried about this for quite some time. And I don't know whether you saw, but there was this article on, this is actually from X,
yeah,
which is basically highlighting the fact that the U16 social media ban is actually essentially going to force adults to verify themselves online. And this takes us right back to this idea of digital ID and the digital ID being, of course, the way of being able to track and monitor. And as this particular article says, Alba wants to be one to set the narrative. We must all consume a single set of facts. Remember that from the Plandemic, a single source of truth. So there's a sort of the social media digital ID, but then I want to set that in the context of another thought, which is from the euro area. So there they're talking about the digital euro. So this is coming in later in the year. A central bank digital currency is coming in October. And as this particular post highlights, if you join the dots between digital currency, digital ID, social credit, etc., etc., then it is effectively forming a control prison. Now, not a prison with bricks and mortar, but a frankly, a prison built around the digital world that we're now very much in. So to my mind, if you then play back what happened over the COVID period and roll it forward to take account of the digital evolution that we're actually now in the middle of, I see the same things happening again and again, which comes right back to your question is, so why do they do it?
Well, they want, the way I see digital digital control of the internet is because for many, many years, the truth of what was going on was hidden. And during the lockdowns, there was a massive awakening. I'm going to say I was alive to some of the corruption that was going on in the world before then, but I had time during those lockdowns to go deeper, to look further within myself as well as a human being. The behaviour of people I found fascinating, and you know, the old adage of, you know, we're all slaves. We're living on a human farm, and essentially we are all slaves of the system that we operate within. Some do better than others within that system, but ultimately we're all slaves to the system. Now, what they did in the lockdown era was so they went and gave some of the slaves control over the others, gave them rules that they had a tick board, and the fucking slaves loved the tick board to have some power over the other slaves. But all it was self-policing. The police didn't actually have to do too much. They're probably too busy dealing with not investigating real crimes. But this digital control grid that we're now walking into, I think, is to stop conversations like this, to stop people waking up. And unfortunately, not enough did prior to the lockdowns. If everybody had a clue, then there wouldn't have been lockdowns for more than 5 minutes. But as we've gone through the last few years, the agendas are clear. There's a massive protest in Gaza and Melbourne today, which I fully support, because I think that what's going on in Palestine is a genocide, and it's being state sanctioned, and any government that supports it, including the Australian government, doesn't deserve to be in power anymore, because you are supporting a genocide of a people a vast number of people. Now, the control of freedom of speech, and we'll see how long this conversation stays up, is what they're after. And I'm very, very expecting to have a crap social credit system, credit number, when the Chinese government take over, and they probably already have behind the scenes, the Australian government, because that is the system that they want to roll out. And they've done it by stealth. And by locking down the conversations and locking down the awareness, because most people still don't really understand the depths of depravity and how dark this goes. I'm going to say the word adrenochrome for people people to look up and investigate, because that is, for me, one of the most terrifying currencies that we have on manipulation, and it's used for control, and it is used for, sadly, for the, you know, the trafficking of, I'm not talking hundreds of children every year, but we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of thousands of children every year worldwide. Now, those people that have been involved in this, and it's happening in Australia, and it's happening in New Zealand, and it's happening in large parts of the world. They're hiding, and their fear levels will be rising, because more and more people are starting to wake up and see the truth of how dark the controlling system has been over our lives.
Yes, and it's really quite concerning when you
That'll
when.
get you kicked off YouTube. Joking. I don't want it to get you kicked off YouTube, Martin, but saying that word might do, but we'll see. I dare
Well,
you.
you will see. Yes, I can. So there's a really interesting way of thinking about this, which is that there is perhaps fear amongst the political class that the economies of the world, and particularly the West, and particularly in Australia, are not doing flash. And in a way, by trying to turn down the message and imply that we need more control, it enables them to deflect criticism from some of their policies, which are actually very much to the detriment of ordinary people. And just to give you a bit of a flavor of that, Joe, there's this amazing statistic that shows how little R&D has been spent in Australia relative to everywhere else, the US at the top of the list and Australia down the bottom, which I think is very interesting. Or indeed, if you want a GDP per capita measure, you know, the US is, you know, up there and continuing to rise, or that may change now. But of course, Australia has fallen. And in fact, that's partly a function of the high migration, but also the fact that we're not producing much at all. And if you want to sort of get a bit of a sense of that, then here you have the Economic Complexity Index. And I didn't know whether you know this, but Australia's now dropped to 105 down the list, right? And it's continuing to fall. And in fact, this is from the Harvard Atlas of Economics. And interestingly, we've only got another 24 places before we overtake Zimbabwe, right?
So Australia's gone heavily into its mining of minerals and exporting them without actually selling up factories and making things onshore, and it's been deliberately done that way. You know, I look at the Australia that was here 25 years ago when I first visited, and when you still have people making washing machines, and cars are still being assembled here and put together. There's very, very little of that now. Everything comes out the ground and gets sent abroad. And I find it fascinating that we export, you know, export coal and iron ore and uranium, and we don't burn coal, which we could pretty much grab out of the ground for fuck all for the Australian populace and use it. And yet, you know, we've gone all green, but it's not helping our economy, and it's not helping our people. So things globalization was mind control that you and I would have got at school, and it's going to solve everyone's problems. Everyone, you know, certain countries will specialize in this, and they'll specialize in that. And if you're good at digging stuff out of the ground, you can send it to people who are good at making it. The challenge is the whole world has done that, and become very, very, very dependent on the global markets, because nobody can, you know, actually sustain themselves. Very few countries in the world that can actually feed themselves. Australia is one of them, and New Zealand's another. The UK now has 50% of imports for food, which is, you know, terrifying, really, because it does place you in a vulnerable position. So we're going to, there's been this move to globalization. We were all indoctrinated at school. We also had the, you know, global cooling for a period of time, and then they changed their mind and said it was going to be global warming, and now it's climate change, and all of these things are, in my opinion, hyped up bullshit to get people to move in a direction, and that's what we've got to stop. But it comes from the realization that, okay, the people that are running the show are not doing what the people of the country, we the people, want them to do, and that's because they're compromised. And if there are good policemen and good lawyers out there, these things need to be exposed, and then they need to be dealt with. And I don't know whether the movement away from centralisation is ultimately the key, but it's also going to be the movement away from central government and some law enforcement being taken back by the people, and maybe even having the common law courts and things like that operating to try and uncover the corruption that's happened.
Yeah, and there was this post which I think fills in this the hole quite nicely. This is from Daniel, and he said, "Democracy has disappeared in Europe. We're ruled by an unelected authority and technocracy." Now, you know, you could argue that elections in Australia have not been that effective, and I would argue that we've got the same problem. You don't choose who governs you, right? You choose who implements what, you know, for example, Brussels have already decided, or other people have decided. Election changes nothing. Power belongs to commissions, courts, and councils no one voted for. And in Australia, of course, we had the knack, right? This whole new machine, which was meant to actually shine a spotlight on corruption at the federal level. Well, they haven't done much, have they? And they've actually, we know that there are a number of inquiries that they have done zero on over the last time. And so, again, there is this formulative gap between words and figures. In other words, what they say they're going to do and what the politicians are actually, arguing versus what ordinary people want. And I just want to take that one stage further, because this actually was another really quite chilling thought. This is from Amazon. Amazon is going to replace 100,000 workers with 750,000 plus robots, right? So bearing in mind that we've got the situation that we've got the technocrats ruling the place, we've got the robots coming, we've got the digital ID, and I just come back to that simple point at the end of the day, what does it say to be a human? And who defines,
I don't know.
Who defines what being a human is? And I come back to a very, very simple, idea that actually the economy should be in service to humanity, not the other way around. And yet I feel, as I may have said on the last one, that we're just being played for cogs to keep the current structure in place to support the ever-increasing wealth of a very small proportion of the population at the expense of everybody else. And, if you want a real example of that, well, the old tariff story, as Christopher Joy wrote recently, tariffs could smash US business profits. But if you look carefully, not all business profits. And then just to round that out, and of course, Trump didn't like the change in the labor statistics, so he shot the the messenger, right? It's almost like, can you make this stuff up? So I come back to a very simple question, Joe. Who's in control? And the answer is nobody that we want to be in control, right? Who's calling the shots? Well, there are probably some people, in dark rooms who actually have a much greater influence than they should. And I always come back to Davos and Davros, and I think the two are rather closer than people might want to recognize. That's a Doctor Who reference, folks, if you didn't pick that up. But the point is that the current machinery and the current trajectory has been set in place and is taking us to a very dark place. So people say, well, yeah, you keep talking about this stuff. What can you do about it? Well, I think my observation is there are three things. The first is people need to wake up and smell the roses here and ask some harder questions about how come we are where we are? How come that we actually have more people who are spending a greater proportion of their wealth than ever before just to get by on housing, 50, 60% of income, right? How come we can be in the situation where you can have temporary visas rising and, the mix, particularly if you look at this chart, is quite interesting from India and China and Nepal, and you see the biggest growth. So there's something not quite right there. So we've got this massive flood of migration coming to the country. So that's something that we should be thinking about. And then the other big lie is the energy story, right? Which, of course, is partly a, a net zero story, but it's also partly a complete stuff up of the gas reservation system in Australia. So people in Australia, Australians are paying massive amounts for their gas and therefore proxy power costs of electricity than they should. And that's, again, failure of policy. But failure of policy with intent to make large corporations ever richer. And so I come back to a fundamental point that if you want to think about the way the system works, you need to understand the power of large corporations. You need to understand the power of these non-elected quasi-governmental organizations like, you know, the OECD and all of the others. There's a whole bunch of them. World Economic Forum, right?
And UN, yeah.
Yeah, and there's plenty of them. And who elected them? No one. What are they trying to achieve? Well, they're trying to achieve a technocratic vision of the future where effectively it's enabled by the technology and it's enabled by digital control. You will own nothing, to quote a well-known phrase. And yet, over time, people have just rolled over and said, oh, well, she'll be right. You know, the nice sunny weather, we'll go and sit on the beach and we'll watch our little screens and what have you. So I think there is a point, you know, you almost need the Charles Munch screen, you know. There's a point where you've got to say, hang on a moment, stop. We've got to actually really think about this much harder and ask some much harder questions of ourselves, but also of those politicians who ostensibly are elected to represent us and to represent our own interests. But in practice, they don't do that. And then, of course, the next logical question is, well, how do you go about that? And how do you make a fuss? And how do you actually sort of engage with your elected politicians and et cetera? And I'd also make the point, did you notice that the latest submissions to Chalmers Productivity Review, which is on at the moment, includes one from the unions now, resurrecting, of course, the idea of taking out negative gearing and those sorts of things again. So maybe that'll go around the houses once more. But it's funny, isn't it, that politicians have an ever greater proportion of property relative to everybody else, which I've always found quite fascinating. And I just want to make one other point, that there is a question of ideas here, but there's also a question of information. As I highlighted, in the US, the labor statistics are stuffed. Well, I can tell you that our labor statistics are stuffed as well, as are inflation metrics in Australia, yep, stuffed as well. So the scoreboard of data that we actually are being fed is also being crueled as well. And one of the big classic examples, which is of course the auction clearance rates, this is the domain one, right, where they actually every year, every week, celebrate the clearance rates at a massive amount, but only on the number sold compared with the number reported, not the number listed. And it's a completely false set of figures, which are then magnified and picked up in all the newspapers, who then actually spin a story in line with their interests of property. And so once again, you've got to understand that there are vested interests attached to the news that we are actually watching, vested interests attached to the political agenda.
Our whole life.
Yeah. So, it's really important to ask some harder questions and to say, hang on a moment.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to return to your population statistics and the immigration side of things, yes, it's out of control everywhere. But at the same point, it's the easiest way to hide a democide, which is I think happening as a result of the people getting ill and dying after their injections. So these things are it has been written about. There's the Kalergi plan is nearly 100 years old. And talking about basically the destruction of the West from within, and that seems to be what's happening now. The only way that it happens is if our politicians allow it to happen, and the only way that they can have it happen is by us not recognizing that they're being manipulated and controlled. So the conversation is enormous. There's so much going on around the world, but at the same point, it starts at your local levels, and it really does start with the police forces highlighting and exposing, and us having no censorship on our freedom of speech, because you know, just this week I've seen two fascinating interviews with people. One was a mainstream, Tucker Carlson did an interview with a guy called Richard Werner, which was about the power of central banks and how his opinion being that largely central banks have been responsible for every war and everything that has been nasty that's happened in the 20th century, and even highlighting that at the start of the First World War, there were two brothers who one happened to be involved with the central bank of the newly formed Federal Reserve, and another one who happened to be the head of Bundesbank, and they went to war with one, and all the reserve banks private. Another interview I saw and was impressed with was one that was done by a guy called Warren Treadrow, who's a former AFL player, and he did an interview with a lady called Rachel Vaughan, and that was all about his podcast. It's called Ballsy. It's on YouTube, I hope, for a while. But that highlighted to me the South Australian issue that was investigated and then you know, literally blown under the carpet. And these things have to be highlighted. And it's about the men around the world and country to country pulling these things up, talking about them, and then where there is bad behavior going on. You know, I don't know if we need to form bosses, but maybe that's what it's going to take, is these wrong ends to be rounded up, and the political system, which I think is run by coercion and manipulation, to be dismantled in the favour of honest people who are working actively for the communities, any sign of bad behaviour is punished severely, so that it is disincentivized for anyone else to try and be corrupt or otherwise.
Yeah, and just on Werner, of course, he's very strong on the fact that it is the banks who effectively are magnifying credit and able to continue to pump the system. And, of course, the ever bigger credit effectively means that the banks get bigger and bigger, so they actually take a greater share of the economy. And guess what? That flows back into the property sector. And that's one of the reasons why our economic complexity is reducing and reducing. But we've got a bigger and bigger property sector. I always say that we have in Australia, we have a property economy with a small real economy bolted on the side. And that smaller economy, which of course is mostly mining.
Yeah, he explains it really well. It's just basically too much money creation for financial asset transactions rather than productive economy transactions, yeah. Which is good for society and good for everybody, and how the concentration of the banking system has led to, and you know, you and I've probably talked about Richard Werner 7-8 years ago, yes. And I first came across him back in 2012. But it's nice to see some of this coming, because it's all part of the jigsaw for people to to slowly come to the realization that the world isn't what we thought it was. It has never been what we thought it was, yeah. And the world that we want comes from an understanding of how corrupt things have become. And when we understand it, put down our differences about whose football team we support, and say, right, okay, what is it that we want moving forward in terms of, you know, do we want this digital technocracy? Do we want? I mean, I left the UK earlier this year, and recent. Business I was operating was introducing a Salesforce technology, which is, again, this is something that's exploded over the last 5-6 years, where they're taking out a lot of the role of your traditional salesperson, which is picking up a phone, making cold calls, and developing relationships with other human beings, because it's all done now with text messages, AI voices calling somebody, and if it gets a reaction, it can engage with them. But you're not dealing with a person. it's mind-blowing what direction the world's going. Because half of what we see on, I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm real at the moment, but half of what we see on the screen is AI manipulated. And this is going to get more and more challenging to discern what's real and what's not real. And if the governments take away our power of free speech, the discerning what's real will only be there real. I mean, some of the stuff that we've been given over the last few years, even down to, little things like the Biden inauguration, which was apparently happening at lunchtime, that I don't believe was filmed in Washington, D.C. And whenever it was aired, it was filmed when the sun was low enough to cast some very low shadows. So it wasn't a midday service like everybody's told us. So there's so much that we're given as truth on our TV screens or in our data, which isn't truth. Why is that? Because somebody's driving us like cattle into the directions that they want, and it's either going to be Mad Max or the Terminator at the moment, unless we change it. And the way we change it is first by shining a light on the corruption, on the depravity, on the evil nature of. Because if somebody's prepared to go and do things to children, they're not going to give a shit about whether or not you can pay your mortgage payment next month or not. They don't have that in them. So that's where I think a large part of the challenge lies in all the systems, business, financial, judiciary, government. And when that's exposed, and it's up to podcasters and the people who are have a voice and have a followership to bring that up. So I've probably brought up a few things today that I'm guessing not many of you commentators have. I just find house prices really boring now when you understand what's happened and that the governments of the world declared war on us, the people, 5 years ago. And most people don't realize that we've been in a war ever since, and we haven't won it yet, and we're not going to win it unless enough people wake up and decide that they're going to get involved in changing it.
Absolutely. I'll just give you one little example, again, building from Werner. The fractional reserve lending story about the way banks work, right, which has been preached in economic classes around the world, and most people would probably assume to be
in my
correct,
economic degree.
is complete rubbish, right? And that's what Werner's highlighting. And it's what even the Bank of England and the Bundesbank over a few years ago recognized that actually there's a completely different way that the banking system actually works, which basically says, well, actually, the levers that we thought we've got, we don't have. So once you start unpicking it, once you unpick these things, you realize that there is a very different way of thinking about things. So this is gently, what we're trying to do is to lead people to
Yeah,
think.
can I put it in a simple point? I'll put it in a simple way. I put it in a simple way. So the slave system, money creates the slave system. And then in and amongst that, you have slaves who become slave masters within the slave system. So it is like the all-seeing eye in the pyramid, which some people know the reference to. It is that monitoring of the slaves beneath you. The guys who are leading the show at the top, they're compromised. And I don't think that in the UK House, the Australian House, or the New Zealand House, there isn't anyone who's compromised. I mean, New Zealand, their current Prime Minister, people don't know that his father was a director of Pfizer, who benefited greatly from injecting 5 million people in New Zealand with a medical poison. So yeah, there's lots of these things and these families and this corruption. And hopefully I'll see you again next week.
Joe, well, hopefully we'll pick up the conversation, and if for any reason you don't appear again, you'll know that they've got you.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank
Exactly.
you.
But I don't give a fuck, but
Now,
mate,
well,
lovely talking to you.
very important conversations here, and we'll pick it up again. And folks, if there are particular
Yeah, and
questions
if
you.
anybody wants to ask some questions and stick them in the comments, because it's such a massive thing, and the house prices are wonderful, and they bear on people's lives, and they're important, but it's not important relative to everything else that's happening. So if you have questions you want to throw in, I don't know the answers to everything. Martin doesn't either. We don't know the answers to lots of things, but we have a clue, and I have a clue about a few things, and I'm quite happy to share opinions, because at the end of the day, if people don't have the conversation, nothing happens, and there will be people who get offended. They're probably the wrong ones, and if they do get offended, that's for them to be offended. We've got to try and keep the free speech flowing while we have it, and see if we can kick back against them taking away from us.
Well said, Joe. Thank you very much. We'll see you again.
Take care, mate.
Cheers.